Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in to Inner Spark Radio, a weekly show in which I talk with experts about ways to ignite the spark within. I'm your host, Lena Gazarian, and you can learn more about our upcoming shows at innersparkradio.com. You can find us on Blog Talk and on iTunes. And today, I am especially excited to be talking with Paulina Smith about how to make your dreams a reality. Before I give you her official bio, I just wanted to say that Paulina and I co-created Inner Spark Radio, and she was hugely instrumental in getting everything started, and you can listen to some of her archive shows here as well, until her plate got her world and plate got so full. When you hear about everything that she's up to. So it's especially exciting to have her here. So Paulina is a coach, artist, performer, holistic health counselor, and entrepreneur. And she's created Dreamcatcher Coaching to help guide and support people to live the life of their dreams. She's gone through over a decade of exploration and personal growth, spirituality, community services, art, and alternative medicine. She's currently involved in the Medea Project, which is theater for incarcerated women. She produces the Holistic Health Saloon. She runs Whole Body Transformations, which is a holistic health coaching and training practice. She co-hosts and co-creates Literary Foolery, which is a bi-monthly comedy and circus show. And she recently directed In My Mother's Name, an original theater production that won the Best of Fringe Award at the 2014 San Francisco Fringe Festival. So you can learn more about Paulina and her work at and her Dreamcatcher Coaching services at dreamcatchercoaching.org. So it's .org. So welcome, Paulina.
Thanks, Lena. Such a treat to be here.
Yeah, such a treat to have you, and such a fun and important topic, how to make your dreams or our dreams a reality. So why don't we start with you letting us know what does it mean to you to follow our dream, and why is it important?
Yeah, thank you. You know, I was hugely influenced by that book, The Alchemist, Paulo Coelho's book. And in that story, he has the idea of a personal legend, and that each of us inside of us comes into this world with this personal legend that we are meant to fulfill. And when we walk in the direction of that personal legend, then the whole universe conspires to help us. And I really, really love that idea, and that resonates deeply. And I think it's something of value that we've really lost in our culture. In our culture, antidepressants are the most widely prescribed pharmaceutical. And so many people today are facing exhaustion and burnout and dissatisfaction with their work. And I don't think that it is the natural human condition to be living in a state of sadness and tiredness. And I think a huge reason why that's happened is because so much of us have become convinced that our careers and our work is something that we just need to suffer through.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say for me what stepping into or living your dreams means is really searching inside ourselves to find what lights us up, what inspires us, what were we brought into this world to do, and how can we bring those gifts to light and make them a reality.
And that's really beautiful. And the bringing them to reality, so this would be just whether it's for an actual career or just making the space and time to do it, whether it's making money or not. Is that right? Or are you geared more towards
exactly
work?
Definitely think that someone's personal legend would be to be a mother, you know, or to stay at home and take care of their kids, or to garden, or it definitely does not need to be equated with a paycheck, so to speak.
Yeah. So it's funny to think, I mean, I definitely want to get to your journey, but in just what else is coming up right after that is, it's funny to think, right, that if we love to do something, or if we have something inside of us like, you know, gardening, nurturing, painting, or whatever it is, that we wouldn't make the space for it, and we wouldn't make the time for it. So why do you think, in your experience, in your opinion, why do you think that we don't a lot of times?
Mm-hmm.
What stops us from making time and space for some of our dreams?
It's the million-dollar question in many ways. I think in a lot of ways, that I think there are multiple reasons. One is that we get afraid that we won't be able to support ourselves, we won't be able to make a good living, and that money is important, you know, and that is a reality in the society we live in. Another is that we're afraid. We often get stopped by our fears. If I put this out here, will people think, who am I to put that message into the world, or who am I to do that kind of work? And so it's easier to just not do it and to not step into that fear. I would say that those are probably the two major reasons that we get stopped.
Yeah, well, you're right. I mean, it is a huge question, and, you know, there's not one answer, but I think that's what you said is actually really, really, really rings true. Because it's not a logical, you know, it seems logical,
yeah.
Right? But it's not a logical necessarily connection that one's going to lead to the expression of it. And so, yeah, but I guess we can talk a little bit more later about, you know, what ways you have of working through or with that. But I would love it, because I don't know actually a lot about your own personal journey, but I know you've had a really rich and interesting life journey that's brought you to this point where, you know, you're ready and willing and able to help people with Dreamcatcher coaching. So if you would just share with us some of your own journey in pursuing your own dreams, that would be great.
Yeah, thanks, Lena. I guess a caveat I want to throw in here is that I think in some ways we also can take on the false notion that when we begin to follow our dreams, it should just happen easily. And if it's not happening easily, and if there aren't challenges arising, then we must be on the wrong path or doing something wrong, and therefore we should stop and retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that can be another reason that we get stopped. And I would say one of the biggest life lessons that I ever learned was that whatever is emerging in our life is here to bring us to a deeper iteration of ourselves. So even if it's really challenging, it doesn't mean that something is wrong or that we are off or that we've gone awry. It simply means that there's a lesson that we really need to learn, that
mm-hmm.
things are going to get really challenging so we can really dive in and take that lesson on. So I would say, you know, it's like no life is. It certainly hasn't been a linear journey, but my mom is from St. Petersburg, and when she was 25, she had my sister, who was 4 at the time, and she wanted to leave the Soviet Union, and she bribed the immigration officer with chocolates so that she could get out of the country and was able to do that. And she has always been a woman who has walked her own path and not followed a conventional path, so to speak. So in many ways, I think I was born with a spirit that's like, here we go, let's make it happen, anything's possible. And I never was one to follow a traditional path. It just never made sense to me or really appealed to me. And so at the age of 19, I left college, and I went to India for 6 months, and I volunteered in an orphanage and was spiritually seeking at that time. And India seemed like a good place to go for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that experience really opened my eyes to how rich and diverse and adventurous life could be if we just lean into our fears a little bit. And that just kind of instilled in me that that principle would always be there.
And what was it about, particularly what being in India and being at the orphanage, what did that bring up for you specifically? I mean, how did that get instilled?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, my parents included, were like, don't go to India, you're not going, it's dangerous, you can't be a woman traveling alone there. My aunt took me to dinner the day before I left and was like, don't you know they throw dead people in the water? Why don't you reconsider?
Wow.
Yeah. So with all these voices, and you can't start to kind of maybe think, well, what if they're right? You know, what if they're right? Maybe I shouldn't go. Maybe this is a bad idea.
Yeah.
But to decide to go, to have a deeper voice inside of me that was like, no, I'm going. And then to go and have, you know, I wouldn't say an incredibly easy experience by any means, but a very rich experience, an extremely fulfilling experience, that was taught me, okay, the voice, I will listen to the voice that is inside of me. Maybe my intuition knows better than the voices of fear that are around me.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so you followed it and you got through it, and that just built on the confidence of following and listening.
Yes.
And so after you came, so you were in India for 6 months? Is that what you had said?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then what happened?
And the funny thing, well, the, you know, how I love to look at our lives in terms of myth and that everything leads us somewhere. And I had gone to India thinking that I would never go back to college, that the education system didn't really make sense to me. And while I was in India at the orphanage in this tiny village, I hadn't seen any Westerners in a month. The teachers at the orphanage took me to a little church. And in the church, they auctioned off a bag of rice, and they auctioned off a live chicken, and then they did the service. And I turned around, and there was a Western woman there from Canada. And we started chatting, and we were talking about our interests, and I had told her that I was really interested in theater and activism and the intersection of art and social change, and that's what I would love to study in college, but I hadn't found any programs that offered that. And she told me, you should check out this program in Montreal. It sounds just what you're looking for. So I, as soon as I can, when I was around the internet again, I looked it up and found this program at Concordia University. And it really was exactly what I was looking for.
Wow.
And
that's magical.
I went across the world to find about it. Yes. And then the crazy thing is that in my third year at that program, which was an amazing program, we went back to India. We got a grant to go to Bangalore and study street theater for a month. So it was this beautiful full circle.
Completely. Oh, wow. That's so interesting. And so mm-hmm. It sounds like so far, you know, you were strongly listening to your own voice, taking you to India, even though other people were, you know, they were fearful for you, for your safety. And you listened to that, and then you followed the next step and went to school. What I'm curious about is, along the way, were there other challenges in the school piece or after school that you encountered that sort of took you to another level, or did that come a little bit later?
I would say that aside from, well, actually this is a big one, it was escaping me, but you know, something that I've dealt with in my life, as many of us have, are just dipping into these dark periods of depression. And it's something that people are often very surprised to learn about me, because you know, when people meet me, they often find that I'm very energetic and optimistic, and I have a huge love and joy for life.
Mm-hmm.
And often, every couple years, there becomes this time when the sadness and the darkness just becomes, it just overtakes me. And the first time that I really experienced that was when I was in Montreal in this program, which I loved. I loved Montreal, and I was having these incredible strong sensations move through my body that just would all about, I couldn't do anything when they came. I just had to lie down. And I couldn't figure out why I was feeling so sad, why I was feeling these sensations. Everything in life on the external was very good.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one day the sensations were so strong, I got the impulse to go for a run. And I hadn't run in 3 years. I thought it looked like a horrible thing to do. I'd been active as a teenager, but hadn't been active in many years. And as I ran, I had this experience of the sensation and the sadness just lifting. And I felt like I hadn't felt in months. And so the next day, I went for a run again.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty soon, I was running every single day, and I had gotten up to 12 miles without even intending to.
Wow.
And then all of a sudden, all these people were saying, oh, my God, Polina, you look amazing. You look great. Like, you are so radiant. You know, what have you been doing? What diet are you on? You know, and the truth was that the running just was the only thing that felt good to do during that time. And it allowed a space where I could have the sensations that were very intense move through my body and alchemize, so to speak, turn into something else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I got really, really into exercise and gained a love for exercise, and decided after I finished college to move to San Francisco to study circus because I wanted to get more into movement work, and I had always had a love for performance, so circus felt like a beautiful melding of, you know, performance and movement.
Mm. So, yeah, that's an example of moving, taking a challenge or an adversity, stepping into it in a way,
yes,
and then it transforming you to another, to the next level. Okay. Wow, and the physical piece is, I mean, it's been really important for you, obviously, and in working with so many people as well, so many clients in your holistic coaching and training. How big of a factor would you say that is, you know, for you, for your clients in terms of any kind of movement and change? I mean, is it key?
Yeah.
Is it something we all should? You know, everybody needs to explore, you think? More movement? Some kind of
more
movement?
I'm a big advocate of movement. I started my fitness training practice and my whole health coaching practice very much because of that time in Montreal. Lena, I think moments where we can quiet the mind in any way that can happen for us, for me, that's through movement. I think it's important to find our own avenue in for other people that might be painting or singing or meditating. And the truth is we are beings who live in a physical body.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to take care of the home that we live in.
You know,
exercise is a good way to do that.
Sure.
So.
I guess I was thinking more, of course, more in terms of specifically, I don't know, I guess in terms of maybe breakthroughs or things like that, if you've seen how big of a piece that has been, or I don't know. Maybe it's kind of a silly question, but it just kind of came up, in your work with people. But, let's continue on a little bit more with your journey, if that's okay. After you moved to San Francisco,
I guess I should add another little piece that feels important, is that another thing that had happened when I was living in Montreal is that I became nauseous, chronically nauseous. And for 2 years, I was nauseous every single day, kind of felt like being car sick.
Wow.
And so I went to many, many different doctors, probably over 25. I, you know, got all these blood tests done and they would just come back and say, you look very healthy, Polina. We don't know what to tell you, but here is a pharmaceutical that you can take, you know, that will make it so you probably won't feel the nausea anymore. The pharmaceuticals didn't work for me, so I started looking at alternative options simply because I just didn't want to feel nauseous anymore, and I hadn't really explored alternative medicine at all before.
Mm-hmm.
And went to many different people and eventually found my way to a Chinese medicine doctor who did osteopathic type work. And he told me, Polina, your energy is so stuck inside your body, it makes you nauseous. And he worked with me, and within 5 sessions, my nausea was completely gone. And he had just looked at the body and what healing meant in such a different way than I had experienced in the Western model, that it made me really interested and gave me a big desire to want to learn more about alternative medicine. And that has also been a huge part of my work and a huge passion of mine over the last decade.
By starting the Holistic Health Saloon, sharing that with people, that's part of it is, I think, what's come out of that, right, is that you're trying to share this with everyone in the community and connecting practitioners to new people. And
exactly. I think a lot of us don't know, I didn't know before I went searching for it, what is available to us. All the different ways that we can heal our bodies. And so I started the Holistic Health Saloon, which has about 30 different holistic health practitioners come and offer sample sessions so that people can know that there are many, many ways to approach healing. And if one way isn't working for you, there is another way that hopefully will.
Right. So, sorry, so did I get you, I might have gotten you off track. You were talking about then how the alternative medicine opened up a huge world for you, you know, in terms of moving your energy in another way, another avenue.
Yeah. So I guess to continue with the story, so I came to San Francisco to go to circus school, and having these two new gifts with me, the gifts of alternative medicine and the gifts of exercise and movement. And I actually ended up in clown school. I studied acrobatics and then did clowning. And while I was in clown school, we had an assignment to go volunteer with an arts and social action organization for a day. And I had heard about the Medea Project, which for 25 years did theater with incarcerated women. And Rodessa Jones, who's the director, had been this legend in my eyes. And I sent her an email thinking she would never respond. I was like, oh, why don't I just try? I know she's in San Francisco. And she wrote back and said, I'm having a Christmas party on Friday. Would you like to come?
Wow.
And I was like, oh, my God, this is amazing, of course. Then at the Christmas party, she's like, we have a rehearsal on Saturday. Want to come? And I came to rehearsal. And then she said, would you like to come again next week? And I was like, of course. And now it has been 7 years.
Wow.
And we're currently building a show with Planned Parenthood that will go up at Brava Theater in April. And that work has just been a huge, huge part of my life and really a dream come true. So
yes. You've made many dreams a reality so far, honestly. I was wondering, though, along the way, through these different, you know, through your journeys, you know how you said you were able to strongly listen to your voice when it took you to India, and then when you got the connection to Montreal, et cetera. Were there times when you felt like you lost that? That connection, or you couldn't hear your voice, and if so, how did you get back on track, or have you been fairly, even through all the, or maybe especially through the challenges, have you been connected to that voice?
You know, Lena, I think it's easy to look back and see where everything led me, right? You know,
right.
In the moment, when I was very nauseous, when I was very depressed, before I discovered the running, it occurs as like, what, am I completely off track? I think a symptom of depression is like, I've lost my way, I don't know what I'm doing. So I think that at those moments, for sure, I didn't feel in touch with my voice. But when something strongly emerged, like start exploring alternative medicine or go for a run, there was something in me that knew to listen to that.
Mm-hmm.
And what that was in me that knew to listen, I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know what it's taught me in the years since, as I've gone through my periods of, you know, darkness, I would say. I have a deep conviction that I didn't have at that time, that this is here to teach me something. And I am just going to keep exploring and keep going to practitioners and keep sitting with myself and keep listening until I understand what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not, you know, in the moment, it can be extremely difficult, but ultimately, what is the alternative?
Right, right. Maybe just wanting a quick relief or quicker relief and doing a antidepressant. Or I mean, and not to say there's not a time and space for all that, but
yes.
for some people, for antidepressants and medications, but, you know, perhaps given the numbers, we are too quick to go there, right, before.
Yes, and not to say I definitely think that medication can be a huge tool. I think the difference is that we are often how we view mental illness or depression or whatever words we want to put into it as there's something wrong here. There's something wrong here, therefore I need to make it go away.
Uh-huh.
And what I'm offering, what I've come to believe is, no, there's nothing wrong here. There's a lesson that you need to learn. There's something that the universe is trying to teach you. And so therefore, medication might be a part of your journey of learning that lesson so, you know, you can continue on with your life, but to still see there's something that is asking to be emerged.
Yeah, that's a really nice way to put it. So in working with people in Dreamcatcher coaching, let's say, who are looking to make more of their dreams a reality and who are coming to you in maybe a period, you're talking with them when they're in a period of a, you know, a rough space or a depressed mood, what would that look like in working with that? Would that be more you sort of coaching and supporting and saying exactly what you said, like, this is rough, but this is also, you know, just a way to look at it? Or is there something more tangible you would have people do as they're going through it, you know, in terms of any kind of, I don't know, journaling or writing exercises or any kind of meditation, anything specific, I guess I'm wondering. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense, yes, and okay. It's resonating a lot. I'm currently working with a client I adore. She is a mother of two and, you know, just in a difficult place, wondering where she's given so much to her children. She used to have a very successful career. Where is she now? You know, who is she now? Kind of needing to rebuild her identity. And so the work, I mean, it's very individual, of course, with whoever comes, but I see the tendency is, oh, Pauline, I'm having a really rough day. I'm having a really hard day, but let me just put that aside. And then let's like get to the to-do list, you know? And it's like, no, we're not putting that aside. Let's really look at what's here. You know, what is the internal dialogue that you are having with yourself? What things are coming up? You know, usually around, I'm not good enough. I'm failing. I'm worthless. You know, some variation of that. Okay, let's really examine those beliefs. Are those true? And if you really believe those are true, then how did you come to believe that those things are true? You know, it's a very long unraveling, and a big part of the work is to unravel the conditioning and the patterns that we have gotten ourselves stuck in.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that when we can unravel those, which can happen in many different ways, through dialogue, through all the ways you mentioning, through journaling, through meditation, through having the awareness that maybe this is not fully who I am, maybe this is just my conditioning that's emerging in this moment. Once we unravel those patterns, we can start to more deeply hear the voice of guidance that is wanting to come through us.
Mm-hmm. I like your approach. I like what you said. How maybe the idea I have of more traditional coaching is a little bit more potentially goal oriented and sort of, okay, well, let's get to this rather than, I mean, I know that there's all kinds of coaching out there, but you know what I mean? I like that you want to go into sort of the deeper, darker spots that people may be in and not try to override that, you know,
yes.
And get positive and get goal-oriented.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's do positive affirmation. No.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
You're right. It's a huge value of mine. Those are our greatest teachers. Our darkest beliefs, our darkest moments are really our biggest teachers.
Yeah, and it sounds like the unraveling process. I mean, what's key is that I think working with someone in the unraveling is probably the best way to go, as opposed to just trying to unravel on our own, right?
Right. So. Usually it's our conditioning trying to unravel our conditioning, which
right.
leads to a shit show. You know, you're failing at this too. You can't even unravel your own conditioning. Look, you suck, you know.
Yeah. Oh, so, okay, so having said that, I guess I always ask this of people in you know, who do this kind of work or therapy, et cetera. Of course, I mean... And I do want to learn a little bit more about how you work with people too, but I mean, people who are listening who maybe aren't going to get to work with you or aren't going to see a coach right now or a therapist, I mean, do you have any suggestions for people, any techniques or ideas or tips that you think can help them in the direction if they have a dream? Well, first of all, if they have a dream that they're having a hard time making a reality, and then secondly, if they don't know, if they've just lost touch with what they even feel passionate about, how they can
yes.
discover that.
Yes, awesome questions. I'll start with the latter. If we are not sure what we're passionate about, I think a good place to look is our childhood. What did you love to do when you were a kid? You know, I remember when I was a teapot in kindergarten and in the play, and I was like, I love this. This is what I want to do for my life, you know? And so I think when we're, you know, when we're children, we are much less bogged down with societal expectations. So our true gifts get to shine more brightly. So
mm-hmm.
I would say, look into your childhood. What did you like to do? Did you like to paint? Did you like to create pretend? Did you like to sing? And to start maybe exploring those things again, sign up for a class, sign up for a workshop, get out your paints and just paint alone in your house at night and see what continues to emerge.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the other question about how... what steps do we continue to take, or how can we continue to find inspiration? I really love to look to books for inspiration. I think they have so much to teach us. The Alchemist is a huge one for me. I just finished a book called The Kin of Ata Are Waiting for Us, which I really loved. I think these mythical stories of people following their dreams, even stories like Harry Potter or The Hobbit, are stories where people have gone in search of something and have faced challenges and have worked through their challenges and have come out through the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So that comes to mind. And yeah, just journaling is a great way to just let whatever wants to emerge. What is my dream? And start writing. How can I move forward in terms of it? What steps can I take? Honestly, often we know a lot more than we think we know. And if we just give space for that inner voice to come out, then it's got a lot to say.
Yeah, you're right. I think that sometimes we just push it aside and don't really give it time, but people know that they're missing something or they'd like to be doing something. And yeah, and maybe, I guess, enlisting the help of a friend as well, like
yes.
to keep me accountable or keep us supportive in you know, because I think it's easy to say, oh, okay, I'll take a class and then miss a class and say, well, I'll take another class. But something comes up. I'm too tired, this, that, the other, the kids, whatever. And then we can just sort of let them go, right? But it's so great to have that support and accountability.
Right.
Yeah.
And to keep noticing where things light you up, you know. I think one of the biggest wake-up calls I had through my personal training practice was I became so lit up by exercise, I thought that when I taught other people exercise, they would lit up too. But the truth is some people still hate to exercise, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they, and so they will be most likely, more likely to miss a class, or it's more difficult for them to get to the gym or whatnot, where someone who is lit up by it, who finds joy in it, will usually make more effort to make it happen. So I would say notice where things are coming easy. Like if you sign up for a painting class and you feel really excited about it and it's easy to get there, then that's a big sign that that's in deep resonance with you, with your soul.
Mm-hmm.
If you sign up for a singing class and you're feeling like I should go, or but it's hard, I don't want to go, or you find yourself missing it a lot, you know, maybe there's something there to explore too. It could either be fear, or it could also be that, well, it's just not in deep resonance with something inside of you.
Mm-hmm. Could be an older dream sometimes.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's no longer really as juicy, you know. Yeah, so those are good suggestions. I guess, just curious, is there anything in particular when it comes to journaling or meditation, like a specific type of thing that you might suggest in this process too, or beyond, you know?
Just journaling, or...
Yeah.
Yeah, some practice that I really like to do is first I'll just journal whatever comes out, and then I'll say, you know, for me I use the word God. I know that's loaded for some, so whatever word feels right, and I say, dear God, please now write through my pen. And usually I'll have, and tell me whatever you want to tell me. And it's amazing, you know, sometimes it will go for pages, just this guidance that comes through, and for me that occurs as the voice of my inner guidance.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a way to do it, you know, dear inner guidance, please write through my pen. Or if you have a specific question, dear inner guidance, please help me get in touch with my dreams, or please help me, show me how I can make my dreams a reality, please show me what steps I should next take to move towards my dreams. You know, the more specific we can get, and the more we can let another voice, our inner voice, come through, I think the more fruitful the experience will be.
I like that. Yeah, that's a nice suggestion. Thank you. And then in the way that you work with people, is it all verbal? Or I'm just curious, because, you know, you have such a diverse background. Is there any anything that has to do with movement or touch, or Chinese medicine, or alternative medicine, or do you know what I mean, within your own coaching sessions, or is it dialogue based?
Yeah, it's interesting you asked that, when I was just thinking about that the other day. You know, right now it is just dialogue based, sometimes with moments of quiet, sometimes with moments of sinking in. Mainly the homework that I give will be, you know, move for 5 minutes, however your body would like to move, or go for a run and see what emerges. Journal on these particular topics. But in the sessions themselves, when I'm with someone, that it's mainly that we are working through dialogue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just curious. So, and when you work with people, are you now working with people on Skype or over the phone, or are you preferring only to work with people in person?
I have an openness to working with people on Skype or over the phone. It hasn't happened yet, mainly just because my preference is the in-person, just because I think there's so much that happens in our energetic body that is harder to translate over the phone.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I'm holding it.
Mm-hmm.
If something emerges, then, and there's an openness and a willingness, then I would follow that thread. And where I've been putting more of my energy in, it has been in the flesh.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, so this has been really inspiring, and your own story, I think, and thank you for sharing that. And I think story is so powerful, as you were saying, with books, right? hearing and witnessing and reading about other people's journeys through through challenges and things like that. And so you've had such, I mean, already you've had such a very inspiring and interesting journey. And I think hearing about that is so helpful in the way you talked about how to look and listen to the challenges that come up, the darker times. So I really appreciate that. And I would just love to know before we end, if there's anything that we haven't touched on or that you want to make sure that we talk about, or just kind of the last things you just want to make sure people know about how to make your dreams a reality.
I think the last thing I'd just like to say is that I truly believe that when we move in the direction of our dreams, then the whole universe conspires to help us. But often it is on the universe's timeline and not our own timeline. And sometimes the human timeline can be a desire for a lot more speediness. You know, we're like, oh, I'm moving in the direction towards my dreams. Why aren't all these things opening up for me, you know? And then we can get deflated and we can stop moving in the direction of our dreams, and then they never become realized. So I guess I just would love to offer that, is that the universe will help you, and we have no idea what that help will look like or when it will come, but just keep your eyes and ears open. Listen to the messages that you hear when you're on the bus. See what articles pop up around you. See if different people are repeating the same sentiment to you. You know, we can start to use our life as everything in our life as messengers that can help us fulfill our dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a great reminder. The timetable is not really our own necessarily.
No.
We're in concert with
yes.
We're in concert with a bigger force. Yeah. Oh, yes. That's great. Thank you so much, Polina. And I guess just maybe if you could just reiterate where people can find you, and that would be great.
Thanks so much, Anna. Yeah, you can find me at dreamcatchercoaching.org, and I offer free hour-long coaching sessions. So if anyone is interested, please just drop me a line through my site, and you can find me there. We'd love to talk with you.
Oh, it's great.
Thank you, Lena. Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Polina. This has been really, really good conversation. It's been so fun to have you on the other end, and it's been inspiring for me to have this conversation with you, really. So thank you.
Thanks, Lena. I just wanted to say I'm so happy that you have made this dream of Inner Spark Radio a reality. So thank you for having me, and keep up the amazing work.
thank you. And I have to say, it would not have happened without you, and that is the truth. So, yeah. So, but thanks, Polina. And thanks, everyone, for joining us, and have a beautiful day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.